This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
Well, I guess I'm trying to encourage you best I can, of course, to get yourself in the right place, so to speak, so that this training works in a proper way. Our way is a very direct way, in case you hadn't noticed. We don't go around the houses, we're not circumspect, we don't sort of go off and try to come in at some sort of an angle with a particular perspective or a particular way or whatever, which is common, that's not a criticism. But our way is as direct as I know. As direct as far as I can see, as it can be. It's as direct as people living in lay life are going to be able to do their best with. If you're a monk and you live the homeless life and you live in a forest or a monastery or somewhere, you will be, or at least you're given the opportunity to be considerably more focused than what most of us could ever really expect to attain, expect to experience. That's the way it is. You can't live in the world and have the distractions of the world and the things that the world have to offer, and expect to fulfill your spiritual aspirations to their maximum, because we've all got that potential. We're all discovering what is already with us. You don't have to have the tools to make anything, but it's really discovering what we already have, and the challenge of that reality is to create the environment so that we can make that discovery. And when you're in the world of distractions, even if you're in this world where you don't feel you are particularly distracted compared to somebody who lives the ultimate spiritual life, if you like, on a physical level, you're still some way off. Just the world is, by nature, is a distracting experience. Like I say, even if you do hone it down and you don't get caught up in the temptations that are put before us continually, even if you do put those to one side, even just living day to day, making a living, living in the world, interacting, relationships, work, routine, all these things are always going to be pulling against your aspiration. And our way of training, it is a traditional way. There's nothing fancy about it. As I say, is very direct. We don't have a lot of flowery stuff around, a lot of distractions. In fact, we don't have any, as far as I'm aware. What's in place, the little we do have in place, is there to support us, not to distract us. And So it is full on, and not everyone. This isn't for everyone by any means, because of its direct nature. And direct, the way I would define direct. Yes, of course, we're going directly to the heart of who we are, but also in that aspiration, we're also coming directly into the heart of who we think we are. This person, this personality that we've created, that we are convinced who we are, that it's become so complicated that it's not a simple thing, but a very, very, very complicated thing, full of all sorts of emotions, desires, fears, laden with great history, a big ball of habits that we can't seem to extract ourselves from. That when we do this type of training, we are looking and facing it full in its face, if we do it right. We can't avoid it because we don't have any distraction, we don't have any circumspect little ways of going about things where we can tiptoe round things and sort of pick and choose what we decide to deal with. We don't pick and choose, we don't have a menu of bits of ourselves that we want to focus on, that we want to look at and get to know, etc. And so we pick and choose what we regard as our practice in the moment, what's now, and we have a little menu and we decide which way we go. So we try to manipulate our way through this great mass that who we think that we are. We don't have the form to do that. We don't have the way of manipulating the training. We don't manipulate it in any way and push it up, make it go down certain avenues and avoid other avenues and things. What we do is we just, whatever's there, whatever comes up, presents itself to us, is where our training is. And that can be something not very challenging. It can be very a pleasurable thing that we're caught by, maybe something that we indulge with. Another small little aspects of ourselves, or it could be something very big. So stuff that we've never looked at before, that we've always, as a part of our creation, we've learned to avoid ourselves, because what we create becomes too much for us to be able to face up to. And it's all of our creation, but it becomes too big for us. And so we create other little things that help us to avoid those things, so we can shunt these things into the siding or bury them to the extent where we just never come in contact with them. There's a shadow somewhere way off in the distance that we wouldn't even begin to dare to go anywhere near, and so we lose a great chunk of who we really are. We cut ourselves up in half, we cut a big chunk off, whatever, I don't know how you get into percentages, but we end up certainly not being anything like a whole person, a very fragmented person, because simply we are avoiding stuff that we don't want to, or we can't deal with, we don't know what to do, it's frightening. But when we do this training, those defence mechanisms that we've learnt to put in place, whether consciously or not, begin to lose their strength. They don't have they don't have that strength in order to prevent these other parts of ourselves from beginning to come to the surface. So we have to be prepared to look at and open up to whatever comes to us. And the impermanent nature of all things is that things flow this way and flow that way. Sometimes it's very, very, very challenging on one end of the spectrum, and then because even those big things are in a flux. They can lose their power and float away, as it were, to be replaced by something else. Maybe less challenging, maybe very something quite pleasant, but clearly stuff that we're attached to and stuff that we're caught up with that we can begin to look into and begin to understand. So there's a whole spectrum, I'm trying to say, that this isn't all about wallowing in the mire all the time. But the nature of our training is that fundamentally we have to accept what comes up. And that's why this is direct. That we all want what's on the other side. I don't think any of us would turn away from that. We all want the fruit, and we all want the freedom, the liberation, the joy and the wonder and the bliss and all the positive stuff, and all the things that we read about that populates the enlightened mind, if you like. Nobody's going to shy away from any of that. But our training is pointing us directly in that direction, in an uncomplicated way. But in order for that fruit to mature, for that breakthrough, for that understanding, to the clarity, that we do have to deal with our stuff along the way. That's the nature of the game, is that we have our stuff that sits in front of us that we have to learn to open up to and accept, embrace, make friends. Massive, massive challenge to all of us, and not one that we can take in a direct way, in a just a simple one-off way. That's impossible, unless you're born with virtually no karma, not carrying any baggage, and had a pretty boring life up till now, where you've not created much for yourself, and there isn't much in the way. Well, that's not really going to happen. Apparently, it does happen. I do hear of people who just seem to break through without doing anything, having anything to face up to, as it were, to work through. It just seems to happen to them. To what depth? That's the question. How deep that breakthrough is, that's a whole subject there. But something that seems to be good enough for them anyway. But we're not in that privileged position, I don't think. I don't know anyone in this group that is. If you are, I can't imagine what on earth you're doing here. I've not met nobody's ever come to the group yet who I feel is above what we do, as it were, or beyond what we do, and they don't need us. In fact, all the years I've been around Buddhism, I don't think I've ever met anybody that doesn't have something to work through. It's almost like just basic human requisite that you've got stuff to be dealing with. The fact that you're in the human form, by definition, means that you've got karma, and quite heavy karma, actually, to have such a heavy form. And there's something going on for you. But some people, it seems to bypass some people. I don't know. But for most of us, we've got stuff to work through. And we have to learn to work. We have to learn to... Learn to work, that's a word, learn to work, learn to experience life in a way that we've never experienced in the way in the past, because in the past we've always had, we've been sort of right in the middle of it, as it were, actually creating it, and as I was saying, bringing all the devices that we bring into to avoid lots of stuff that we don't like, that we don't want to get to see and to get to know. Now we, because of the nature of this training, we are hopefully willing, now taking that willing step to open up to whatever comes up within us, and to be able to skillfully, dharmically skillfully, not worldly skillfully, because there are skillful ways in the world of dealing with things, but dharmically skillfully to learn to identify the tools that we need and to polish them and to hone them and to slowly become skillful at learning to open up and to be with ourselves and to deal with the stuff that we've created that now comes to the surface, comes and sits in front of us. These things we have to do. We do it in a very direct way. This is what I'm saying. This is really, really quite a hard way of doing things. And there's not many that can do it. But I think everyone has to go through it. Now, whether you do it in this life, this type of training, we can tell you that you can do it all in one life. That's very revolutionary Buddhism. Really, Buddhism wouldn't recognise that. So you don't have to string this out for countless existences. You can actually do it in one go, but in one life. Well, in order for that to fulfil, you know, it doesn't take a lot of imagination. That there has to be that direct possibility. To fulfil that direct possibility means that you've really got to go into this in an uncompromising spirit and just take what comes to you in the right way, so that things run their course, they burn themselves out, so that you no longer feed things, you no longer get carried away by things, but you learn to open up and embrace, because you know that all of this is actually your own creation. You may not see that at the beginning, but as time goes by, you begin to see all, everything that's happening to you. You've planted the seeds for all of these things, and now you have the opportunity to allow them to germinate, to grow, and to die, without you feeding them, nurturing them, and keeping them going, so they become bigger and stronger, and even outlive your own life. That's the nature of our form of training, and it's, as I say, it's not for everybody, but it's something that everyone has to go through. If you decide to go on a more circumspect journey, that's fine. That's what you want to do. But all these bits within you, sooner or later on that journey, you have to make contact with. There's no getting round it, even though you don't willingly face something because you want another slightly different windy path. These things will come. These things, they're your creation in order for you to aspire to the freedom, to the liberation, to discover your true nature. Everything that you created will come and sit, that you have to work through sooner or later, whether it's this life, the next life, 10,000 lives, eons of lives away, as Buddhism will, some forms of Buddhism will tell you, literally eons that this training can go on. Because in those eons, all these bits that you've created, never mind the stuff that you create along the way, again, new stuff, as it were, or reinforced, all of that has to, in order for us to truly break free, truly to be free of this this sense of something's not quite right. Something, it could be better. We could be. We all have the potential to experience true freedom. And it's something that we all desire. And whether we desire it in an obvious way, whether you can articulate it in those terms, or whether you don't really have such an obvious vision, as it were, deep down there is something that wants to be free. And once you do this training for a while, you can't actually walk away from it. You can try. You can divert, you can send yourself in all sorts of silly directions. But actually there's a part of you that once it gets the spark, you can never ever extinguish that spark. You can fight it as much as you like and just create more stuff for yourself. But that which is beyond you, does not belong to you, that you cannot manipulate, control, is not your possession. That there will sit there and will be shining and will always bring you back to this, what we do. Life after life after life. It will bring you back. Because it's that part there that wants to be free, that wants to shake off all of this stuff that mysteriously has gathered, that has a self-identity, that is motivated by a sense of self, that wants to be, it's had enough of the game. It wants to find its true nature so that it may rest completely and freely. That's why you're here today, in case you didn't know. You may think you come here because you want to come here, which you may well, but that's not the real reason why. That's not the real part of you that brings you here, that will bring you over and over to these situations. Either here or somewhere else. Doesn't have to be here, of course. But the nature of what we do bring you back to that nature. And so we have to learn to accept that reality and learn to skillfully work with who we are, who we think we are. This person, this personality, all of our stuff, our history that we are caught by, that we carry, that we never put down, that seems to form who we are as an individual personality. We need to get to know that, because there's the nub of the issue. That's the bit that creates the issue right there. And we have to learn to wake up, to see what we are actually doing to ourselves, what we are creating for ourselves, and realize it's not our mother and our father, and this situation, this event and that event, but actually we are the creator. And to realise that, and when we realise that we are the creator, we put ourselves in a position where we can begin to uncreate. No longer create, it's probably better to say, to give up creating and let what we create fade away, because we are no longer giving it life. And that's our journey. And all I'm trying to do is to bring you to this, to the place where you can begin to stop creating your who you are. And that's really all we need to do, is no longer create. Not unpick, not destroy, because who's the one who's destroying? Dharma isn't about destroying anything. It doesn't go out and do anything. You don't go out there in order to disassemble something, but rather discover why you create these things in the first place. That's the path of insight. And then when you learn, when you know what the how the game is played, what you do and why you do it, then you begin to let it all go. You don't pull it apart, it falls apart on its own. That's the dharmic way, it's not the worldly way. And so it begins to fade, begins to melt, because you're no longer bringing the essential ingredients to keep the thing going. That's the place where we have to find ourselves, to get ourselves to. Yeah, get ourselves to that place. Because our entire history, we have been consumed in creating. Whether we realise it or not, most of the time we don't realise, we don't see it in those terms. We just see it as life, this is it, and I'm a victim of it, and I've got to learn how to live in it, find my way through it, until I know I'm going to die one day, and I'm just going to make the best of this job until it all ends. Something like that. But what we don't stop to consider from the very beginning, actually, I actually create the whole of this. I think too many people have that realisation, have that way of seeing things. It's a way of, how can I manipulate my way through? How can I do the best I can in this situation? We don't consider that we create the situation in the first place. But this is Dharma, this is what we have to discover. Otherwise we just keep playing the game. And then even if you become a Buddhist and say, well, I'm a Buddhist and I'm on the path of liberation, which of course I wasn't before, but now I'm on the path to enlightenment, to awakening, because I'm a Buddhist. But actually, there's a very good chance, if you haven't got it right, you're still in the mode of creating. You're not on the path of liberation. You may have shifted the furniture around a bit, you've got different labels hanging on things. But actually, you're still in the same mode of non-understanding. You know, it's not good enough just to call yourself a Buddhist and read a few texts and study this, that and the other. You've got to be able to internalize and personalize everything that you take on. It's got to become deeply, 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 deeply personal. So that when you read the Dharma, you are seeing yourself. There is no space in between. Otherwise, it's just another exercise, another thing that you're doing. A nicer thing. You're learning to be more ethical. You're learning to be a better person in the world, more sensitive, caring, etc., etc. Hopefully, that at least is what you'll get out of it. But that doesn't take you out of samsara. It may be a part of the framework, absolutely, that ethical component is a part of the dharmic environment, as I like to call it, that framework that allows change to take place. But it on of itself will not release you from samsara. It may soften the edges, as I say, make you a better person. You can be a lot, clearly make great changes in your life. But you don't have to be a Buddhist to be an ethical person, to be a kind person, to help people, to be compassionate, sensitive, etc. You can believe in absolutely nothing and still pull that off. That's just finding your basic humanness is something anyone can find in any culture, in any religion. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful, but it's not enough on its own. Some think that it is. That by becoming a Buddhist, you're on the path to freedom. Well, in a sense, you got some of the framework in place, but that on its own will not take you to freedom, true freedom, as what the Buddha discovered of his own self-discovery of 7 years of looking, investigating, training himself, ultimately finding the path which took him out of becoming. That side is definitely one of the components that we need. But the one component the absolute most important component is the one of insight, is understanding, of seeing through things, seeing their nature, where it's coming from, its reality, whatever it, to know it. And from there, this is where you can begin to let go, so that things begin to melt, so that you're no longer creating the world, because that's the insight, that you are the creator. Now you, and you see why you create. It's not just a simple observation. Oh, look, I'm the creator. But you have to see all the implications of that, what all that means, all the different forces that go to make this thing up. It's the path of insight. Now, insight can only be truly sharp, or can be at its sharpest with an ethical framework, because that helps. It takes the distractions away. It brings you to that settled part of yourself, where you find stillness, where you're not caught by your actions. That then releases that natural insight faculty that then can look in to a depth that you've never had before. So while there's a partnership, if you like, but without question, simply to be a good Buddhist will not get, everything is impermanent. If there's not insight brought to that new ethical dimension, that's subject to change. You know, that could well get lost. You could fall back. Other things start. That's not a guarantee. You're not reached the end of something there. You put something in a place that has to be fed, to be nurtured. And the best way to nurture things, yes, you can polish your habits, the new things that you're doing, but the best way to not fall back is with understanding. Because it's understanding that rips the rug out from everything that you create. But in order to understand, you have to create the right environment. And what you're understanding is you, who you are. This thing that who you think that you are consumed by, that possesses you, that you reinforce. It's that that we get to understand. And we don't create that bit that's not intellectual, that understanding bit that pierces. We don't create it, we've already got it. It's already there. Our liberation is already here. In fact, we are already liberated, actually. I don't know how useful that is. But that part of you that's beginning to see and beginning to... That's the real you. It's actually already free. But somehow it's not with you, not with us all of the time. We are more lost in our creation than in our freedom. But we need to understand. And this is a part of our directness. This type of training is so direct that we need to accept that there are times when we've really got to look at parts of ourselves that are really very difficult to look at, to live with, to not be carried away by, and somehow learn, at least learn not to feed them anymore. Begin to declutch from the habit of just feeding, and feeding means that you react to it, you follow, you react, you recoil. Any form of reaction is a way of affirming that it exists. And that's what we learn to... We begin to learn to put that in place in our lives. And we've never done these things before. This is the dharmic... The dharmic way is to just learn to be able to put things in place. Understand who you are and the parts of us that we are experiencing at this time. Open up to that. That in itself is enough to be going on with, but then there is the slow beginning to see what it's all about, how it's created, what's really at the bottom of it all. This is the insight, and in order for that to come in to our training, we have to learn to be still. Because when we're still, we're in the place where that natural faculty that we got is not distracted, is not somehow masked over, lost in some way. So that can be with us, so that it can begin to shine through, see and shine through what we create and what we get caught by. And it all comes back to stillness again, doesn't it? However we go off, always come back. This is always at the heart of our training. And this is all I'm encouraging you to do, is bring you back to that centre. Bring you back to that, to discover. You know, we don't even have to make anything here. We don't have to learn any skills to make something. It's all here, complete with us. And what we need, our part of the bargain is, is that we have to learn to, as best we can, bring this to discover, rediscover our natural stillness, and from there everything changes. You see the clarity, you begin to wake up, you begin to see what's sitting on the end of your nose and has always been on the end of your nose. You don't create anything. You begin to wake up. It's called awakening. The perfect way to describe awakening. And what I have to offer you, that's it. It's just to come back, to encourage you to come back, to find the stillness, and from there, it almost takes care of itself, almost. A lot, just there on its own, a lot will begin to settle down within you. But it does need that little, it needs a little encouragement, without doubt. And that's called insight, vipassana. We can't be passive completely with this. But what we need first is to put the environment in place, to understand what this training is about, what we're about. What we're about, as they say, we just go very, very directly. I don't want to use the word brutal. It sounds horrible, actually. Because sometimes it can feel that way. Brutal suggests that there's an act. Somebody does. I don't like it because I'm being brutal. It isn't the case of I am being brutal. Nobody's being brutal intentionally. Stepping out to, that's a horrible thing. It's hardly dharmic. But the reality of it is that we can really come up against stuff that we don't, that we're willing to suspend our defences against. Darkness that we've always kept down out the way is now coming up. Something can rise up through that now. And we haven't got the hand anymore to push it away. No. What we have, if you want to do that, you can always do that, or try to do that, willingness. Because now, rather than have it as a negative, see yourself as the victim and the negative, now you're beginning to, well, I don't know if you can say invite it. Well, you might do. But you can say, well, I'm beginning to see this in a different way that I used to see it in. Before, it was just something that consumed me. Carried me, oh God, no. This is horrible, horrible. Now, there's a part of you now that's actually not quite sucked into that. You're not consumed as you used to be. Now there's a little part of you, because you've learned to wake up. You're learning to wake up. That's not quite the victim that the rest of you is. And it's beginning to, it's giving you the opportunity, just have a look at it, without being completely carried by, overwhelmed by. Just begin to look at it, to see it, to see where it's coming from, to see what it's about. You've got to see how it's constructed, the ingredients that go to make up this experience, which you've never done before, as a part of you. So in many ways, and I've mentioned this before, for me, so much of life, before I started this training, at least three quarters of it, just looking at life, thinking, what the hell am I doing this for? What's all this about? It's just playing games every day. Basically looking after myself. Whatever I had to do in the world with my life, my relationship, looking after myself. Playing a game. Creating this persona, which I used to do a lot. And then hiding behind it, playing a game. I'm this sort of a person, whereas behind it all the time is this frightened thing that just was hating it at all. But not seeming to have any choice, because I didn't know any other way. You had to play the game. Just ways of looking after you. That's what it is, ways of showing yourself up. So you create this particular type of person. Then you have to play the game, and that takes a lot of energy because it's not natural. I have to be, I'm this sort of a person, and this sort of a person speaks like this and says this and wants to do this, etc. And you always begin yourself to this person, and that person isn't the real you. And so there's always a lot of energy involved, and a lot of, well, it's deception, a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of rubbish. But it's like, there's no, what else do I do? Just make myself a total victim, open myself and just get eaten by the world and everything in it. So you have to protect yourself. And so, I mean, I don't say it's all like that, but that's the problem when you've got awareness, is that you do pick these things, you see these things. Maybe people with less awareness just don't go there, it's all blocked off, it's somehow it doesn't come on the radar, whether it's a conscious denial or whatever. I think when you've got a lot of awareness, you see everything that's going on within you, I think, or with me, and you see there's so much negative, the negativeness of it all, because it's not genuine. And knowing that there's something much better than this, there's got to be. Look at this that I'm living in the middle of. The wonder and the beauty and the mystery of this life, and here I am just creating and hiding behind this persona, these images. One for this person, another one for another person. Situation, work, home, play. All these things. For me, it became incredibly... It's very debilitating too. So much... All my energy was, on a daily basis, going into the maintenance of all of this, to maintain it, keep it all going, so I could look after myself. Didn't know, but the thing was, that I never knew an alternative. That was the thing about it. It wasn't a case of wanting to do it, or just that, well, what else do you do? This is what you do. And then when you look around you, you see that everybody else is doing exactly the same thing. And that's what you do. That's life. And yet it's not right. I don't know that it is life, actually. It may be the game that we all play, but that don't make it the way that it could be. And that used to really bring me down big time. But like I say, I could never see an option. But when I came to the Dharma, and I'm sounding like an evangelist now, when I came to the Dharma, I was offered a way out, actually. That's what it is. And I came to realise that once I began to feed in, to get to know what this was about, and absorb it, not here, but within me, absorb it, so that I could see that it was a living, it was talking to me as a living entity, that all of that negativity, which is still there, because it's habits, you don't snap your fingers with this. It takes years to unravel this nonsense. It can do. Sometimes you can make leaps. Just like, I won't use the word, but you know what I'm going to say. And then just don't do it anymore. And that can work. But sometimes deeper things take literally years to work. So you're not going to do this just because you begin to wake up. But what it did, the profound effect it had on me was that now all of this negativity in my life, because I had beginning to develop a new perspective, all this negativity now seemed to consume so much of my life. All that negativity I now began to see as being something positive. And that just changed. This is why if you see your life, your work, things, not you. You don't see work. I've got a job to go to. This is my work. Don't see it as your work. See it as your training. the whole thing completely flip over, because when you say it's your training, it means that you're bringing another part of you into that experience, and you're beginning to view things in a different way, not as a victim, not as a way of how do I manipulate my way, how do I pick my way through this thing, but rather how do I let all this stuff go, how do I not become the victim of my daily experiences, but actually become not the victim, but see it as what you do, and begin to replace it with how things really are. And for me, just having that realization, that growing realization, that all that negativity, it all became grist to the mill, because there was another part of me that was using it in a positive way, looking, observing. Do you need to do this? Look what you're doing to yourself. Look at the crap that you're just churning out continually just to maintain this person, looking after yourself. Have the courage. Just let it go. Just don't go there anymore. See what it's like to be vulnerable, open. See what happens to you without sticking another person in place. Just experience it. Do it. Are you going to die? It may be terrifying at times. Certainly very challenging, but just do it, man. Okay, what's the worst thing that can happen? You can die. Big deal. You're going to die anyway. So that you begin to see all your world in a different way, not as something negative that you're frightened of, that you're running away from, that you're trying to control and manipulate, look after yourself, etc. Now you begin to see, good God, look what I've done. This can't go on. This is just rubbish. And then you launch yourself into the adventure of it all, because it's something that you have to do. This is tasting the ice cream. We're not theorising. This is tasting the ice cream, where you can see, because you get more familiar with your world and the way that you react, the way that you look after yourself and all of these things. And you begin saying, well, no, or step over a line into a situation that you've never crossed before. But now, well, I'll do it. Now I'm going to do it. For God's sake, it's about time I'd stop taking myself so seriously, because that's the bottom line of all of this. If we didn't take ourselves seriously, we wouldn't be caught up with anything. I'm going to step and say, what's going to happen here? I'm going to make a right arse of myself. I don't know how to function. I don't know what to say. I feel awkward. I feel self-conscious. Okay, well, feel all of those things. Before, you didn't go there because you didn't know. But now you've got a reason for doing it. Not to create another fantastic person, another persona, but just step into your fears. Step outside of your comfort zone. Step across the barriers that your prison, the way you certainly I perceive myself, just so locked in. I can do this, I can't do that, I can do this, and I can't do, oh no, I can't go there, I can't do this, can't do blah, 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 and be like this. Now, because you have this, you're beginning to wake up this other part of you that's absolutely nothing to do with all of that utter rubbish that you've created. There's a part of you that never from the very beginning had ever, ever, for one single moment, had any part of any of that. Ever. Now you're beginning to allow it some little space through awareness, because that's where it is, that's where it's your awareness of who you really are. You're now allowing that. You're beginning to give that space. Don't shut it off and lock it up, but say, no, I'm staying. Keeping your awareness there within that. Don't shy away. Put the barriers up. Stay there. Now you're beginning to break through. Their things are beginning to change. So that life, even though you can still live a very mundane life, that's, you know, still be boring, still be a load of rubbish, still don't particularly enjoy it, and all sorts of things that are going on, but that's a completely different perspective. That's a completely, it's your training ground. It's an opportunity for you to get to know yourself, and for you to begin to go on that path of freedom, that liberation. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to let go of the shackles I've had all my life. All these things. Because I'm just waking up to them. I'm not going in there with a hammer and a chisel and... You're just stepping over the line. It's not good, it's not bad. But... life has asked you to step over the line, and rather than say, okay, well, I'll step over the line. That's all. It's not good, it's not bad, it's not right, it's not wrong. You just step over and be in a place that you've never had the courage to be in before. See what happens. That's making it. That's bringing the training to you. This is absolutely tasting the ice cream. And it's there where things begin to shift. Nowhere else. There. That's your Dharma training. That's what this business is about. So that everything... you just see life... it's got a different perspective. It's now... it's got a meaning. Everything's got a meaning. Believe me, it's always had a meaning. How dare you say that life has no meaning? How can you say that? Look at this fantastic... inconceivable experience that we're in the middle of. How dare you say that it's meaningless? That it's your perception of it that's wrong. You are on the threshold of something that will just take you away from everything that you've ever been caught by. Will give you an experience that's inconceivable. And it's there now. That's reality. For you to look out on the world and say, look at it in such a negative way and say, that's your problem. You're the creator of that. And by learning to bring that part of you that, whether it's just an act of, well, almost certainly an act of faith, if you like, or trust, that there's a part of you that never ever been touched by any of that rubbish, ever, since the beginning of time. In fact, it's not even a part of time. And it's there, it's within your grasp, as it were. You live out of it. Now, it's not in some distant place. It's right here, in this. It is this moment, it is what we call the moment. It's the ever-presentness. That we actually really are there. That is that that we're now allowing. We're giving some space. We're in our completely neurotic experience of life. We're beginning to bring give it some space to shine through there. And with that shining through, by definition, it means that we're beginning to let go. We're beginning to uncreate. We're not creating. We're not even uncreating. We're just not creating. And from there, the snow begins to melt. This is direct. This is tasting the ice cream, as I've always said to you. Just that metaphor of tasting the ice cream. Change takes place when you taste the ice cream, not when you think about it, which you can. And it can be a very interesting subject, a very large subject. But you won't change because you know all about ice creams. It's only when you lick it will you know what an ice cream is really about. that's the opportunity that we've got. And I'm just trying to bring you to that place. Because I know for me, you know, when I saw things in a different, began to see things in a different light there, that actually, that life is all right. It's me who's got it wrong. And the blame game, you begin to let go of the blame game. It's you, it's life, it's God, it's the devil, anyone but me. When you begin to let go of the blame game and have some faith, some trust to bring that part of you that's truly free into your training that we call awareness, there that's where the journey begins. And it's for you to keep polishing yourself, keep reminding yourself, keep refreshing yourself. And retreats are the most fantastic places to refresh yourself, because we're so undistracted. To refresh yourself, that things then can really begin to loosen up and begin to fall away.